Hello, amazing parents and caretakers, and welcome to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. I'm your family empowerment coach, Celia Kibler. I'm a mom of a blended family of five kids. I'm a grandma of nine kids, an author, a teacher, a speaker, and a consultant with over 40 years of training and real-life parenting experience. I'm here to offer you practical, doable tips, strategies, and techniques that will pump up your parenting skills and create peace, love, and laughter throughout your family. In addition, I'll be interviewing some great humans that are on a mission to make your life a better, happier, and healthier life. So let's not waste any time and get started with the next episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Thanks for listening. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. We are talking step parenting today. I've been a step parent for over 27 years, almost 28 years. And we are talking to another step parent, Alicia Crasco, who has similar experiences because she's a step parent, but different ones that you might experience because her dynamic when she became a step parent is totally different. She'd never been a mom, and now she's a stepmom. So we're going to dive into that in this episode of the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Welcome, Alicia. I'm excited to have you here.
Hi, Celia. I'm super excited to talk to you. Yeah. Every time I chat with you, I'm like, oh my gosh, I already know that I'm going to laugh. Like, this is going to be fun.
We have a good time. And it took us 45 minutes just to get this recording started. So let me tell you who Alicia is. She is a stepmom coach dedicated to helping stepmoms gain confidence and define their role in their blended family. Something we can be very challenged with as a step parent because it's not easy. It's not easy being a step parent. For me, I had two kids and I have three stepsons. And so it was like, I'm a mom to them, but I'm not a mom to these children. And my children were young when we became a blended family. So my youngest stepson, was four, and my son was five. And then they went incrementally up to my daughter, who at that time was 11, I think. Five and six. Is that 11? That is 11. So she was 11. So I math. And, but Alicia, you had a different experience. So tell us a little bit about what your experiences was becoming a stepmom, you know, and what led you to become a coach to help others.
Oh man. How much time do we have and how much do I have to pay you for this therapy session?
We'll send the bill at the end of the podcast.
Okay, perfect. I'll look for it. My husband and I started dating when I was 26. So at that point, I was pretty set in my career and I had always been career driven, so much so that I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get married or have kids, but if I had to choose, like, I'd rather be married. Like if push came to shove, but I was more career driven. So I had put that ahead of other relationships too. And I honestly live by the motto of I'm so good at running my life. Like, here, let me run yours. And then when you become a stepmom, like, you realize pretty quickly that that doesn't work. So here I am, 26. I'm very career driven, very ambitious, very like gung ho about doing all the things. Like, I was already in the position at work that I wanted to be in long term. And so I was very set in my career. And so my husband comes along, we meet, my stepkids at the time are 8 and 11. And I love kids. Like, I've always loved kids. I've always gotten along with kids. And so I hit it off with them right away. It's all good. We're dating. Wonderful. Everything's great. And then we get married. And what no one tells you is that when people realize that you are going to be here permanently, things happen to go sideways. And then it's like, oh God, she's going to be here forever. And I came in without any kids, but I knew how to textbook parent. I was really good at that. Everything, like, implementing. However, growing up, I'm the middle child and I've got an older sister that's 11 and a half months older. And then I've got a younger sister that's 6 years younger. And my mom was a single mom. So I did a lot of helping out and like a lot of, I was basically like the older child since we were so close and I have a stronger personality than my sister. So I wasn't like a complete idiot when it came to parenting. Like I knew like what it took like to kind of run a house as much as like you kid can from like 12 to 18, right? Like when you're at home. But then there was a dynamic that shifted when we got married and things weren't so rose tinted. And I realized that I felt stuck. Like I felt unheard. I felt helpless about my situation. Like I can't believe that I waited until I was 29 to get married to have my life be this, dictated by a divorce decree, a custody agreement, a parenting plan, whatever you call it, wherever you are. And then to have like last minute schedule changes. I was very organized, very rigid, very like routine. But also like I had a lot of flexibility in my life to do whatever it was that I wanted. Like I could take a workout class when I wanted. I could work when I wanted. I could stay up as late as I wanted. I could sleep in. I could eat chips and salsa for dinner if that's what I wanted to do. And then I couldn't. And I really struggled with that because again, I'm really good at running my life. You're like, here, let me run yours. And no one really talks about that. And to say that I was angry is like the understatement of the year. I was like blind rage. And I remember like a few months into being married, just hating my life. And I don't know how many times I cried myself to sleep. I don't know how many times within the first year of being married, I Googled how to get divorced. And like 100%, and in Michigan, because that's where I am, I learned that there was a 6-month cooling off period if you had kids. And I was like, well, I don't have kids, so this would be pretty easy, right? But I would, you know, like I'm not one of those people that makes snap decisions when it's something of that caliber. So I was like, okay, in my life, I really enjoy my relationship with my husband when it's just my husband and I. And we've got a great relationship. He's an awesome husband. He's a really great friend. We have a lot of fun together. We can have serious conversations. Everything, when it was just him and I, just to clarify, when it was just him and I, everything was about as perfect as you could freaking get. But then when you add in the kids, the ex, the in-laws, and everything else, that's when everything went sideways. And I really had to have an honest conversation with myself about, okay, you really love this guy, crazy about him. Is it worth all of the other stuff that's going on? Is it worth feeling like you're less than? Is it worth feeling like you're good enough until you're not? Is it worth feeling like you're drowning and you've got nowhere to go? And I was like, well, yeah, but this isn't going to work for me. Like I can't stay in this relationship if this is how things are going to go. And because I had been Googling divorce, I knew what I needed to do, but I had said to my husband, hey, this, and I didn't say it this nicely. Like, let's just start there. I am a hothead, so I did not say it this nicely, but for all intents and purposes, I'm going to be polite here. But I was just like, this isn't working for me. We either need to get help, which was really scary for me to say. The fact that I was admitting or even saying like, hey, I need help because this isn't working. That's really hard. So we either need to get help or we need to reconsider our relationship. And unbelievably, like easily, he said, okay, well, let's go to therapy. Like, let's just go get a marriage counselor. And I thought that there was going to be some sort of fight about this because I'd been saying for so long, like, this sucks and this sucks and this sucks and this sucks. And it was very easy for me to like point the finger at everyone else, never once owning the part that I was partaking in any of this. So we went to marriage counseling. And I loved marriage counseling. It was amazing. There was the validation. I felt heard. I felt seen. I felt like somebody finally got it. Because if you're going to marriage counseling or if you're reaching out for help, please, 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 if you're a stepmom, make sure that you're getting somebody that is versed in blended family or stepmom life. Otherwise, it's not helpful. So our marriage counselor was a stepmom. And so she understood and she got it. And I'm in an age gap relationship. She's also in an age gap relationship. So we had a few different nuances that were the same. And so I love going to marriage counseling because she was like, yeah, you know what? She's right. You know, you need to do this, 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 this. And everything was wonderful until we got to the point that she said, okay, Alicia, let's talk about you. And then I thought, well, what? I mean, I'm basically perfect here. Like, I'm not married, or I wasn't married before. I didn't bring kids to the relationship. Like, you just said all my ideas were wonderful. Like, what could you possibly need to talk to me about? And she's like, okay, that is really great that you're so awesome at running your life, but you cannot control everything. You cannot control what your husband does. You cannot control what your stepkids do. You can't control what the ex does. You can't control what your in-laws do. You can't control the outcomes. How many times did I practice what the outcomes were going to be and try to like control those or try to manipulate them any way that I could get to like get them to be what I wanted? And so, you know, she was like, we need to talk about this control thing that you have going on. Which I was like, it's just because I'm really good at running my life. Not realizing that, yeah, for sure, I was definitely a control freak. And then everyone was on eggshells, me included. So there was just a bunch of things going on. And, you know, the scariest thing of reaching out and saying, hey, I need help, actually turned out to be the best thing, because then we were equipped with the tools to make things work. You know, I had said I chose my career over relationships in the past. Well, I did. It was easy, because another part of that, another layer of that was, well, if the thing isn't going, or the relationship isn't going the way that I want it to, it's not a big deal, because I'll just end it, right? Where right. Now I'm married. Granted, it was going to be easier to get a divorce without kids, but a divorce is like a lot of work, right? Like, there's yep. so much that goes into it. And I love my husband. Like, I wanted to stay with him. Ultimately, at the bottom line, like, I wanted to stay with him. And so it was doing that work, but looking in the mirror and actually facing the music, you know, seeing the reflection in the mirror and understanding that I also had my own faults. Like, I needed to take accountability for like my own part of it. And I remember my husband saying one time, and I didn't understand it at the time, but he said, I need to learn who you are as a wife. And I was like, I'm the exact same person that you've been dating for all these years. Like, what do you mean? But now I get it, right? Like, hindsight's always 20/20. So long story short, or to make a long story even more long, we got the help. We got the help, and things were, I will just be 100% honest with you, things were not easy. I still cried myself to sleep. I would still have like blinding rage moments. Like, there were times that I still hated being in the situation that I was in. There were times that I wanted to be anywhere but here. If the kids were coming over, or if there was a sporting event, like, I wouldn't want to go. Like, there were times that I felt like I was still like scratching at the walls to just like get away from everything. But once I started to gain a little bit of confidence, or start setting some boundaries, or learning to say no, like, I don't have to show up for every single thing. You know, like, when my stepkids are coming here, like, because they're both out of the house now, they're 19 and 23. They weren't coming here to see me, honestly. They right. were coming to see their dad, right? And that is a hard thing to hear for stepmoms, but at the end of the day, that is the truth. Like, I'm just their stepmom. And there's a bit of a stigma around being like just the stepmom. It used to frustrate me. I used to really like grind my gears when people were like, oh, you're just the stepmom. And I'd be like, but I do all of these things.
Right.
But now right. I have flipped it, and I'm like, yeah, you're right. I am just the stepmom. And so it's just the mindset shift of like, I'm just the stepmom. I get to make the decision to like step up and be super stepmom, or I get to make the decision to step back and step be back. The back, like, supporting stepmom and just hanging out and like whatever happens. So it was really like a great lesson in letting things go, or working on not being so controlling. But yeah, now the kids are out of the house. Our life before they even were out of the house got so much easier. There were a lot of things that together we had to work on. Communication, setting up house expectations, so everyone knew where they were standing, like what was expected of them.
Right.
Because I'm like, I'm the adult in the situation, and I'm confused about what everyone is supposed to be doing. Like, sometimes the kids would be in trouble for something, sometimes they wouldn't. And then it was, if Alicia's here, they're in trouble for it. If Alicia's not here, they're not in trouble for it. So I'm like, well, what is happening? What is going on? And then I became a stepmom coach because I felt like I made it to the other side of that, whatever that chaos dumpster fire was over there. Like, I had jumped out, like, magically, not really magically, I was able to extinguish the fire, get out of the dumpster, and start building something completely different.
you know, I get it. Life gets hard. Things get chaotic. Kids can get out of hand and you start yelling. And I know you feel bad about it. What if I told you that in 21 days, yes, 21 days, you could stop yelling? How? Because I have a new program out, 21 days to stop yelling at your kids, and you will get an email every day for 21 days with instructions of a system that you can put into place so you become a proactive parent and stop being a reactive parent. Are you ready for that? Can you imagine life in just 21 days? What if you don't do it? What will life be in 21 days? A lot of the same or even worse. So go to quityelling.com, quityelling.com, and get it at an introductory price, super low, super affordable, so that you can finally stop yelling at your kids and realize how cooperative your kids can be and how much listening and smiles can go on day after day. Go to quityelling.com. And now back to our podcast.
If I could go back and not do that, any of that all over again, I would love that. But I wouldn't opt to do that because it wouldn't lead me to the relationships that I have with my stepkids, with the ex, with my in-laws, with my husband now. Having been through the ringer and like raked over the coals, I can now appreciate, like really appreciate how smooth our all of the relationships are.
Yeah. And it takes work and it takes you putting your ego aside.
Oh my gosh.
Because one of the really hard things about being a step parent is ego, is that you're like in the rung of parents, you're down at the bottom, you know, and that doesn't mean you're the evil step parent, you know, back at, you know, Disney Productions where there's always an evil stepmom. It's more understanding that they have a mom, they have a dad, and what is your role in this relationship? Now you're an extra one. Now you're the extra mom, you know? And in your home, you are the mom in that house. And it's hard for people to realize that even though you're doing the mom stuff, you still, even in the eyes of the law, you don't have any legal precedence to those children. That was really hard for me because I cared a lot for my stepkids. I was the one that went to school, that had the meetings, that did everything that needed to be done. And then to realize that I really had no legal, you know, options when it came to those children. It was up to their two parents. They still have parents. There's a lot of ego that has to be soothed when you're a step parent. And you have to realize, I think the point that you made, that they are coming to see their father or their mother is super important to remember too. They're coming to your home because their other parent lives in that home. Now, that doesn't mean you don't form a great relationship with your stepchildren, that that's impossible. That's very possible. I have a wonderful relationship with my stepkids. And even now that everybody's in their 30s and 40s, I still have a wonderful relationship with my stepkids. Were there hard times? Absolutely. When they were growing up and things, you know, I remember even our marriage. When I got married to Rock, our youngest, Ross, was like walking around because they'd all gotten hamburgers for before the wedding. And he wasn't going to eat his hamburger. So my husband ate the hamburger and he spent the whole day being mad at my husband for eating his hamburger. He's like, why did you eat my hamburger? He was 5 years old. Was he five? Yeah, I think he was 5 years old. And clearly that was not the issue. The issue was not that dad had eaten his hamburger. But to a five-year-old, you know, that was how he showed his confusion over what was going on. It is very impactful for children. And it's important to remember that they didn't ask for this. This is not their fault. This is not what they're like, oh, let's have my parents split up and get more parents. They didn't ask for it, or more siblings or whatever. But it can be a really wonderful experience if everyone's willing to put egos aside and work towards making it a wonderful experience. Now, for my kids, they have their three brothers that are on my husband's side. They have their two sisters that are on my ex-husband's side, you know, and it is literally a big, happy family. Is it always going to be that way for people? No, you may not work out that way for you, depending, but egos really have to be put aside so that you can figure out the best way to have this family function in as much harmony as possible with all this other stuff coming into the picture.
Yeah. And I think it's important to touch on the ego as far as like when you were talking about, your ego, you know, because you are like the bottom rung on a ladder. So that means that like you're an evil stepmom or whatever. And even more basic than though, Celia, is like a lot of stepmoms that I coach, I would say, actually, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say every single one of them. I don't typically speak in absolutes, but me included, when I came in, I was like, well, what do you mean I'm not going to be number one in your life? What do you mean I'm going to be second or third or fourth or maybe fifth, you know, depending on how the hierarchy, if you will, of your family is, and not making it a competition with the kids of who can get more attention from your partner, right? Or, you know, there, and then there's the competition, like with the other house, do not ever enter into that competition. Is it hard not to? Absolutely. Did I do it? Yes. I will 100% tell you, yes, I did. Whether it was things that we made for dinner, whether it was baking, whether it was activities, whether it was things that we bought them, things like that. You will never, never, ever, ever be their mom, ever. And it doesn't matter if their mom is the last person on earth. If she was the last person on earth, you still wouldn't talk to her. It doesn't matter if she's a really great mom. It doesn't matter if she's a really terrible mom. That is still going to be their mom. That right. is still going to be the gold standard. And it's really hard to hear that because I was a part-time stepmom, a sporadic part-time stepmom. And then I had our daughter in 2019. And then my stepson moved in full-time like 4.5 months later. So I've been on both sides of the coin. And it's still really hard to know that you're pouring in either role, whether you're a part-time stepmom or a full-time stepmom, you're pouring all of this love and care and knowledge and wisdom and just time and energy and all the things into this kid, and you're still not their mom. They're never going to be looking for you in the crowd. They're going to be searching for somebody else. And just to like level that playing field of like, okay, you know what? I'm just the stepmom. And I know that that's really hard for some people to digest. And if that is you and you're listening to this and you're like, I don't want to be just the stepmom, great, then don't be a mentor, be, you know, like the friend, be like a guiding friend, not just a friend, like you let them do whatever, right? Because everyone needs expectations.
Right. Don't be
or be like the cool aunt or whatever. But just taking your ego out of it and understanding that right now, in this situation, in our relationship, there are kids involved. And if you have, like, you came in with kids, so you know, like, you have kids, like, you can't just kick them to the curb, like, okay, we're gonna have couple time, like, see you later, kids. I didn't realize what that dynamic was gonna look like with kids in the house. You know, my husband, we'd get into bed and he would be like snoring in like 5 seconds. And I'm like, hello, like, good night, I guess. And I didn't get it. And there are so many, this is so embarrassing to me, but there are so many times that I ruined our night intentionally, but unintentionally. Like bedtime was 10 o'clock. And if the kids were not in bed at 10 o'clock, I was like a ticking time bomb. And it was just a matter of time until I would say something. And then my husband was like, I don't even want to hang out with you. You're being a jerk. You know, and now with my daughter, and then it got to the point where I was like, you know what? It's not worth the turmoil in my marriage. I realized that was one of the things in marriage counseling. You are sabotaging your own relationship. What are you doing?
Right.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I am. If they're in bed at 10:05, it's not the end of the world. But because I had blown a gasket Now, for the rest of the evening, for the next half hour, 45 minutes, however late we would end up staying up, we're not even talking.
Right.
Because I ruined it. Like, right. Why did I
Nobody
do that?
Nobody wants
like,
to why? Be around that.
Yeah. No, why did I do that? And then, no, then I was just like, okay, I've got to let that go. And then now with my own kid, her bedtime is very fluid. You know, this is the time, but it might be 15 minutes later. It might be a few minutes earlier, but I'm not a freaking drill sergeant about it anymore. And I didn't make space. I was very, very black and white. Now I have a lot of gray area in my life, but I didn't have the capacity to have any room for anyone else because I was going to run my life. And this is what it was going to look like. And at 10:02, that was when we were supposed to hang out. And you guys are cutting into it.
Right.
Spontaneously combust.
Exactly. And one of the things that is so important in any relationship, be it your own, you know, relationship with your partner, a step family, your own family that's not a step family, it doesn't, your teenager, you have to communicate. You cannot leave things sitting inside of you, never talking about it. Because what we do with stuff like that is we take it and we build our own story around it. And we keep building this story that probably 85% of it is not true. It's just we're building the story and then it turns into resentment. And once it turns into resentment, there is a difficult path moving forward. Because now, like you were resentful of this whole situation. Now I'm not
which is
running
why I have
my
a course on
anymore.
Resentment.
So, because what?
No, which is why I have a course on resentment. Like I went through it. Yeah.
Good. Because it's huge. And you have to talk. You have to talk about things. I remember when I got divorced from my first husband. I only have two. One I'm married to now and him, who was the father of my children. But when we got divorced, we were married 15 years when we went into marriage counseling. And I brought up things that happened 15 years prior. To his defense, what the heck was he going to do about something that happened 15 years ago? Mm-hmm. But for me, I never talked about it. And it built up into this gigantic issue, a 15-year-long monster. Mm-hmm. And you have to talk about things. People say, how come your family is a successful blended family and has been that way for all these years, for 28 years almost? One thing is we were very fortunate in that our five children loved each other from the get-go. They had a great time together. They were incremental. I could have given birth to all five of them. They are spaced that well. They really, truly enjoyed each other's company. Extremely, enjoyed. And we were very lucky. We are both very grateful for that because had that not been that way, I don't know what would have happened. So that's part of it. But the other part is we talked a lot. We talked about expectations. We talked about what was going to be like in this house because their mother's house was very different from the way we ran our house. You know, and my oldest stepson came to live with us in eighth grade and stayed till he was 21, 22. My youngest stepson wanted to come live with us. He came to live with us for a year. But at that age, I explained to him, things are different here. There weren't cell phones. We didn't have cell phones back then. So you had to always tell me where you were going to be, who you were with, what the phone number was. Did I know those people? I mean, there were a lot of rules, whereas in their mother's home, they were allowed to pretty much, you know, roam the planet, wherever they were going. They didn't have those boundaries and those limits and those responsibilities. So it was very different. But we talked about it. We spent a lot of time discussing stuff and hearing their ideas and how can we make this the best possible that it can be. But still knowing they had a mom. I'm not their mom. You know, I'm their father's wife. You know, and that's really what it comes down to is that you're their other parent's partner. And yeah. that's how and you that's got triggering. Into this family.
Yeah. And I honestly, I've been referred to, that's my dad's girlfriend. Like when we were dating, or like there have been times in our relationship that that's my dad's wife. And there have been times where I'm like, that those are my husband's kids. There are times where I'm like, I don't want any ownership. They are not mine. They're his. At the end of the day, they actually are, right? They are his. But same thing for them. There have been times in a relationship where they are like, that is not my stepmom. That is my dad's wife. Like she's the crazy right. one. Valid, totally valid. But let's go back Same to the communication part of it, because I think this is very common. I see this a lot in stepmoms that I work with, where the dynamic is exactly what you described. Their mom or the other house lets them do whatever they want. But then at their house, the stepmom and the dad, or the stepmom and the partner, they it's very structured. There's, or she wants it to be very structured, very routine, whatever. That is relatable. Again, I'm so good at running my life. Like, let me run yours. Everyone does really well in structure. Like everyone knows what's expected of them. Like, let's just set our expectations up. But when you're coming in, you don't really have that authority to do that. You know, I say like as a stepmom, you've got all of the responsibility, but like absolutely none of the authority. And so, and if your partner isn't a communicator, or maybe their previous relationship, they just screamed at each other, they just yelled at each other, like they didn't have healthy communication. Right. It's really hard to then set up and be the bigger person yet again, right? Like that's like the mantra for like 7 months, be the bigger person. Well, at what point can I just lash out too? Because that's what I would like to do. That would make right. me feel really right. good. I 100% get that. But learning healthy dynamics and healthy communication and what that looks like. You know, so if you're struggling with communicating with your partner because you guys, you know, you're fighting or you're yelling or you don't feel like you're hearing each other, something that I learned to say was, you know what, hey, Celia, I don't need you to fix this right now. I just need you to understand how I'm experiencing this.
Right.
Sometimes
you can't fix it.
Right. But I want a place to go and just, right. I just want you to listen.
And if it turns into worse, give permission to walk away. Give each other permission to say, you know what, it's not a good time.
Yeah, my blood is ready to boil. I'll be back in an hour.
Don't avoid it, but give permission to walk. Same with your kids and your stepkids. Mm-hmm. Give them permission to walk away. You know what, I've had a bad day. Yeah, I'd rather not talk about this right now. Don't be like, well, we're definitely talking about it right now.
That was me. I was like, we are going to fix this.
That was
right
not
now.
Me.
It was definitely me. I was like, well, let's just, not with my stepkids, but with my husband. I'm like, no, we're going to handle it right now. And of course that never ended really well. He'd be like, Alicia, things like, and I would be the one again, because I'm the hothead, to like blow my top way before he did. And I'm the one that wants to talk about this. So that was like a super conducive environment for like getting help and like figuring things out. But then when I learned to be like, okay, I am feeling, which I felt, honestly, I felt stupid being like, I feel angry that this conversation isn't going well. Let's rejoin in an hour, or let's rejoin. I would always set, hey, let's come back at this time. But the I feel statements, I can now say them all day standing on my head. And it's totally fine. But at the beginning, I'm like, that is so elementary. That's so dumb. I'm not doing that. And then the more you know, the better it goes, right? The more you know. But then going back to expectations, like I had talked about those in having the structure and the routine at your house. So we didn't do house rules, because when you think of rules, the very first thing you think of probably isn't something positive, right?
Right.
And our marriage counselor had suggested this because I was really struggling with where does everyone fit in? Like, what is my role? Like, how do I slot into this craziness? Because I don't even know. So she said, do house expectations. The house expectations are also for you and your husband. They're for everyone. They're not, not just for the kids. And less is more. Which I was like, oh no, you said house expectations and I've got 300. I'm ready to go. She was like, no, less is more.
Should not be a 300 page book.
Correct. Yeah. I was ready though. Less is more. And have a family meeting with the kids and get buy-in from them. Yep. And I was all on board until she said that. And I was like, okay, but you don't understand. Right now, it's like not good. So I am not about to sit down at our dining room table with my husband. My hands are sweating just telling you this. With my husband and these two kids, that like the dynamic is not good. Like, I'm not doing that. And she goes, you'll be fine. I was like, thanks. So yeah. I was the last person to sit at the table, and I sat on my hands because I didn't know what to do with myself. I just sat there. And do you know that the world did not explode? Do you know that I actually survived? Do you know that I made it through? And it was fine. Was it
awkward?
And
the world doesn't revolve around you either.
So weird. You know, I didn't know that. I found out.
And kids have great ideas.
They're asked.
You know, and also with these expectations of your home, which should definitely exist, don't be surprised. Like, people go, my kids would go back to their mom's house, and then they were cussed at, and they were called names, and they had much more aggressive communication than we ever did. And they would come back on a Friday and it'd be like, hi guys, welcome here. And we'd sit down and we'd be like, okay, reminder where you are. Mm-hmm. We're not cussing. We're not calling names. We're not smacking each other. Brief reminder. And they would fall into, and eventually they knew. Now they just make fun of me and they cuss on purpose because they know I don't like to hear cussing. You know, they're old. Mm-hmm. So they want to embarrass me, which they do a good job of. But when they were, eventually I didn't have to remind them every weekend to use their manners. But most weekends when they were kids, they'd come back into our house and be like, okay, guys, you know, what's the magic word? Can we ask a little nicer? And they would snap into it and they knew it. I mean, I did not allow, just because they were allowed to talk that way at their mom's house, did not mean they were allowed to talk that way at our house. Mm-hmm. And it sometimes has to be their birth parent. Is that the way to say it? Yeah. That enforces that.
Yes. I just say their parent because my stepkids are adopted. And so I just say their parent.
Oh, yeah.
But it's frustrating. Like, if you're coming into a stepmom situation and you don't have kids of your own, it's frustrating to be like, every week I have to do this. Every week I have to remind you, hey, let's transition back into our house.
Why
like,
do I have to
remember? But then also, you've got to remember, they didn't ask for the divorce.
Exactly.
They have been living in this other environment for however long. And then now they're coming here. It's, the environments are totally different. And like you said, eventually you'll get to the point where you don't have to do it. So we did have some expectations.
See their perspective and see those kids' perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like my kids literally from the age of my youngest being 5 and my oldest being 11, I lived in Maryland. Their dad lived in Missouri. They had to board an airplane by themselves and fly to Missouri. If you don't think that was a hard thing as a mom to see your little kids get on an airplane by themselves and fly off to another state and hope they land and hope their father finds them and all those things. There is a lot of stuff that goes on in blended families and in separations and divorce. And you really also have to see the world from those kids' perspective, because they didn't ask for any of this. And they may be angry, they may be mad, they may be intimidated, they may be frustrated, they may be overwhelmed. All these feelings are put together on all this strange new world that they have to experience. Yes, it's hard for you. But you're also an adult with a hopefully fully developed brain who may hopefully have some emotional intelligence. They're still working on it. And they cannot respond to this situation like an adult. It's impossible. They can't do it. They need your help.
Yeah. And I learned a lot about that too. But yeah, the kids didn't ask for it. The kids didn't ask for the divorce. They didn't ask for all of this. But you as the stepmom also didn't ask for the craziness either, right? You're like, oh, I'm just marrying this person. And granted, they've got kids and acts like whatever, I'll deal with it when I deal with it. But you had no idea how hard it was going to be. And so rather than just putting my nose to the grind, like I'm just going to persevere and I'm going to push my way through. Don't, please stop right now. Do not do what I did. It does not work. Because you're just that much further down the road and that much more resentment has built and that much more animosity between you and whoever and everyone probably. Get the help now, because you've probably never been a stepmom before. You've probably never had kids in your house before. You've probably
that you
never
didn't raise.
What's that?
That you didn't raise, that you didn't bring up.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of things. And so even if you have a really high emotional IQ, or even if you have a lot of intelligence, that doesn't mean that being a stepmom is going to be easy for you. Because like I learned, you're going to bring your own baggage to the relationship, regardless if you are, I've never been married before. I don't have any kids that I bring into the relationship. I'm basically perfect. I walk on water. No, you don't. Let me help you. No, you don't. I'll just help you now. But like, it's
heads up.
Yeah, right. Watch out. Warning signs ahead. Warning, warning. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So that's why I always say to stepmoms, even if you're dating, get help early and often, because you don't know what you don't know. And even if it seems like, oh, everything is great with the other house, we get along wonderful. You do right now. That's awesome. I love that for you. What do you do when you don't?
Right.
What is your game plan then?
You have to reach out for help. And parents, especially, we were talking about this before, have such a difficult time. Why do I need help parenting? Why? My parents parented me and they parented them and I'm okay. And of course I'm always like, well, are you really okay? Is that why therapy is like a multi-billion dollar industry? Because we're all just okay.
Right.
And we have to realize that help is not the enemy. And like you brought up, it's not a competition, and it should be your relationship should be you guys against the problem, not you guys against each other. Mm-hmm. And the problem is you're blending a family. How can you do this in the most successful way? And it might very much be the answer is one of you steps back and the other takes control of their children. And you're just in the background being supportive, being, you know, the person that's, you know, able to assist when needed. That may be your role until that trust and respect is built. Because if there's no trust and respect, it's going to be chaos. And you have to take the time to build it. And I don't even know where I was going with all this. So you talk now, because
you have to take the time to build it. And I think that's the hard part of stepmoms that I coach, and me too. Like I came in guns blazing, like I'm ready to help out and I'm ready to like do all of these things. And you can't, because you're not their parent. And so something I always say, because I made this mistake too, because I was like, oh yeah, I love kids. Like these guys are going to love me. This is going to be great, until they didn't. And you can't do correction if you don't have any connection. I mean, you can, you know what? I'll just tell you, you can, it's not going to go well.
Yeah. You'll get a lot of fight back. Exactly.
Correct. And so I always say connection over correction. And here's where being a stepmom has like totally made me a better parent, because I got to see why that didn't work. And parenting, or trying to parent my stepkids how I was raised, was basically detonating a bomb and like holding onto it. And so it just like literally blew up in my face. Like it didn't work very well. I was not raised with, I get to have a voice. I get to have a say. It was my way or the highway. Right. You do as I say, not as I do, kind of thing. Which, that's not helpful. And it took me a long time to be like, you know what? No, I'm not okay. That explains like years of people pleasing. That explains why the pendulum swung the other way. And I was like, watch me control my life. And so that's what happened, right? And so I would say connection over correction. And a way that I get this analogy to make sense to somebody that doesn't really understand it is, let's say that you know me and we get along really well and you like me and I make a joke at your expense. You're probably going to laugh because you think it's funny, we're good friends, whatever. Now say that you don't know me, or let's say you don't like me, or I represent something not great, or I, you know, won something that you were supposed to win, and then I make a joke at your expense. That doesn't go over very well. That goes over like a lead balloon. So that's kind of the same thing when it comes to working with your stepkids and, you know, everyone being on the same page. Like, connect with them, like build that relationship first, figure out where you fit in. And honestly, something that was terrifying to do, because you talked about this earlier, about like, how do I make this better? I would regularly, or try regularly, to ask my stepkids, how are things going? How am I doing?
Yes.
Is Great there something advice. I'm doing? Which is so hard. It's really scary because you open yourself up for a right. critique.
Right.
Or for them to like say something bad that you don't want to hear, right? Because I'm the parent, like I know everything wrong. Let's stop. But like, what's going well? What am I doing that you don't like? And where are some places that like we can like tweak some things?
Right.
Right. And then it started to be like, hey, okay, well, what am I doing? They would say, well, what am I doing that you like? What am I doing that you don't like? And where are some areas that we can tweak?
Right. And you so find it's like this common ground.
Yeah. And it's
and
a
you
collaboration.
Realize that things can improve because you're all allowed to speak up.
Mm-hmm. Which is scary.
It is scary, but it also builds huge respect.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start respecting you, the connection becomes so much stronger, so much stronger. Mm-hmm. And that's good advice for anyone. It's good advice to even ask your own children, whether, mm-hmm. you know, even if you're not a parent.
Yeah.
It's good to check in with your kids once in a while.
So I do that. My daughter is 4. I do that with her, but then I also started to add, and this was really hard for me too. Like we didn't grow up like, or I should say we didn't grow up having conversations about anything that was hard. Like, don't cry. You're not struggling. You're going to be okay. Like, suck it up, buttercup. Like, no one's got time for that. So making space and like learning how to make space for that is really hard, but I've gotten into the habit of asking her every day, what are 3 things that you really enjoyed about today? And whatever they are, like, it could be something simple like, oh, I liked that I got to play with so-and-so at school, or I, you know, I liked that we had this for dinner, or I like snuggling you. Okay, great. What are 3 things that you didn't like about today or that you struggled with today? And the first few times I would do this, I would literally be holding my breath. Like, please don't say anything about me that you didn't like, because, oh my gosh, like, that means that I'm a terrible parent. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. If she says that, it doesn't mean that you're a terrible parent. It just means that she was annoyed with you, or she was struggling with you for whatever reason. Same thing, like, crazy about the kid, but there are times that I'm annoyed or I'm frustrated or I'm irritated by things that she does. That's okay. Granted, she's 4. I'm not telling her that. Like, in the heat of the moment, I'll say, hey, you know what? I'm struggling. I need a few minutes. I'll be back. But it's scary to ask people for that constructive feedback or the constructive criticism.
Right.
And not just like, everything is fine. Everything is great.
Right. Because and it makes your kids feel visible. Mm-hmm. You know, kids struggle because they're always being controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like no one even cares that they're there. And especially stepchildren can feel that way. Mm-hmm. Well, we could go on and talk about this forever.
Yeah.
But we have to go.
Okay.
We should probably do podcast 2 about step parenting. But Alicia, I'm really glad you came on, and just so much value. And if you're a step parent, reach out to Alicia, reach out to me, reach out to someone you feel like you connect to, because mm-hmm. help is a good thing. Mm-hmm. So while, before we go, Alicia, tell our listeners how they can reach you, please.
I am at Alicia Crasco across the board. Instagram is my platform of choice. My website is Alicia Crasco. So I offer one-to-one coaching, and 2 options with that. Like, you can do Zoom coaching. So on a Zoom call, it's 50 minutes, or I've got Voxer, which is like a walkie-talkie. We talk back and forth. You pick out a day that you like, and it's an 8-hour footprint. So within those 8 hours, we can talk about whatever. I also have a private community called the Stepmom Side Community. In there, I hold office hours weekly, so you can just pop in and ask me questions. We can chat through things in real time. I do have group coaching in there as well. I have a podcast too, which you've been on, the Stepmom Side podcast. So, and I've got lots of resources that are free as well. If you're at that point in your stepmom journey where you're like, I'm just here for the free resources, I hear you. I was there too until I wasn't and was like, you know what? I just need direction. Like, right. Where am I screwing this up? Like, where are things going wrong? Somebody please help me. So that's all the ways to find me.
I love it. I love it. So reach out to Alicia and get the help you need. Reach out to somebody. Mm-hmm. Don't just be miserable, because if you're miserable, your relationship is miserable. All the kids that are involved in relationship are miserable. Is that really how you want to go through life? Because it can be better. It mm-hmm. can be better. Alicia and I have two totally different, you know, family stories, but there are a lot of similarities and there's a lot of the same struggles, and we both managed to make it better. You can
and
too.
Got, like, yeah, it's all worked out. Like, everyone's got a good relationship. And if you are struggling, or if you're like, I don't really think that I'm struggling, that's totally fine. But I just want to tell you this. There are so many stepmoms that struggle in silence. Yes. Because they don't know that there is help to be had, or, you know, it's embarrassing to admit that you need help. Like I told you, like, I was terrified to admit that, like, hey, our relationship isn't working. Like, we need to get help.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, you know, yeah, you're not alone. You're mm-hmm. not alone at all. And there's a lot of parents out there. Don't be looking like, oh, their family's perfect. It's not. Mm-hmm. No one's is. So reach out. Alicia, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. It was great to chat with you.
It was a pleasure. We'll do it again. And to all of you, I wish you days filled with peace, love, and tons of laughter. Have fun with those stepkids, because they're pretty funny and you're funny, so you should have more fun. It's the best medicine. And we'll see you here next time on the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Pumped Up Parenting Podcast. If you're really ready to start creating cooperation in your home, more listening, more joy, less stress, less yelling, less negotiating, and a whole lot less aggravation, then reach out to me and let's put a parenting system in place that works for you and your kids. Private and group coaching is available, and in 6 months or less, you will start seeing a much happier home that your children will blossom from instead of have to recover from. Get the manual that I wrote for your parenting journey, Raising Happy Toddlers, How to Build Great Parenting Skills and Stop Yelling at Your Kids, along with my three children's books, All About Me, I Am Grateful, and Being Different is Fun. Find it all at pumpedupparenting.com.